God's not going to look at him and say, Jonah, that was a great job you did with that, by the way. Dr. Jonah Salk. He doesn't care. It means status on this earth means absolutely nothing to the king. Nothing. Zero. Nothing at all. Nothing. LeBron James, when he stands before God, God's not going to say, man, you were amazing in that seventh game of that championship when you made that bucket. He's not impressed. It means nothing. Can I believe, as we see who he appeared to, he's reinforcing that. He reads one thing, and it's not what's said about you online or in the paper or said on the television. He reads this right here, your heart. How sincere is your heart? Is your heart really mine? That's what he reads. That's what impresses him. Remember, the scripture says, it says in Isaiah 66, it talks about, hey, who can build a house that can hold God? Who can? He says, nobody can build anything that can hold me, but I will come and live in a heart that is broken and contrite. Wow. See, this is a different kind of God. Isn't this an audacious plan that he has? Okay, so he came to the lowly just to show and to prove. He's proving, look, I'm not about nobility. I'm not about education. I'm not about money. I came for the lowly. Actually, people who seem to have less receive him way quicker than those who have more, right? That's a reality that we all have seen. So the shepherds are terrified, okay? They're just trying to do their shepherd thing. Let's look at verse 10. And 11 said, but the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Okay, so he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And it seems it did calm them down. Okay, because again, they were terrified by what had appeared to them. He says, I bring good news. The Savior's been born. That person that you've heard them talking about in the synagogue since you were born. Your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother spoke about this. It's happened. It's happened. And it's good news for everybody. And in verse 12, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. There's a lot we can say in there, but I want to focus this morning just on there will be a sign. This will be a sign to you. In other words, I've just told you a really audacious thing. I've just told you that the Savior has been born. The Savior has come. There's going to be but he says, this is how you'll know it's true. In Bethlehem, that nearby village, you're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. He gave them a sign. And think about signs. I mean, you know, here's again, a sign. You know you're in Pennsylvania when you pass that sign. Okay, right? You just paid an audacious toll amount to come into the state, right? And you have to slow down, okay? So begin, but it tells you, the signs reveal to you, this is where you are. This is what's, it's a verification of what's happening. You know, I got gray hair. Have you noticed? I got some gray hair. That's a sign of aging. It's a sign of, I embrace it, all right? I embrace it. But I want you to catch that though. I mean, there's signs. What are signs for? Signs are verification of something's happening. Every time I have to kneel, I am reminded that I am aging. It's a sign. Okay, there are many signs that we see and we recognize in our lives. Okay, and so it said, so there's a sign. And so signs are important. They verify something. They verify what's happening. Again, it doesn't have a deep meaning. It confirms, it authenticates. Okay, so when the angel said, this will be a sign. This will be a sign. And this is to authenticate the truth. I am thankful for signs in my faith with God. I'm thankful. You figure, but listen, the shepherds, I believe, needed a sign. Because again, this was a wild thing that just happened to them. These angels appearing, right, scaring them, and then saying, hey, I bring you good news, right? That this Savior that you've heard about your whole life has been born. Right? And he said, but this is the sign. This is the sign. This is the verify. signs are important in my walk with God, and signs are important in yours also. And that's what I believe God wants us to see this. You say, again, because when they saw the baby, that's when they really believed. They went, and what the angel said was true, okay? And obviously, babies being born in mangers wasn't a normal thing. Okay, they were able to find the baby, okay? And it says, baby born in a manger, and that they worshiped God. They knew it was real at this point. And we have several examples of this. You know, when the angel appeared to Mary and said this audacious thing, you're going to have a baby because the Holy Spirit's going to visit you, okay, whatever that meant. This is the sign he gave her. He said, your aunt, Mary, Elizabeth, okay, 6 months ago, she conceived a child. And of course, she was way beyond childbearing years. Okay, so this was a sign. So she went to see Elizabeth. It says immediately, she went to see Elizabeth. And again, when she went to see Elizabeth, you can read about this in Luke chapter 2. It says, when Elizabeth saw her, it says the baby leapt in her womb. She was filled with the Spirit. And she knew Mary was carrying the Savior of the world. And do you think that meant something to Mary at that point? Think that was important? I mean, that's what the angel said. That's what the angel told her. And here it is verified by Elizabeth, who is amazingly pregnant, right? It was a sign. It was a sign. Verification matters. Okay, and I am so thankful. Listen, our faith is not just in some ideas. It's not just in a theory, okay? Listen, my faith is based in fact. It is based. Now, there is faith, okay? Catch that. But there's facts here. I mean, I see the story of Jesus Christ, and I believe in him. I believe who he is because of the signs that he has given us. He's given us these signs. And that's why I appreciate the Bible so much, because we can trust it. Look at the first verse in Luke chapter 2. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph went from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David called Bethlehem. Why? Because that's where he was from. But listen, as I read that, you can say, God, I'm just sick of these details. It's kind of slowing down the story. But you know what Luke's doing here? He's giving you facts. He's giving you signs, saying, he's saying, look, you don't think my story's true? Fact check me. There's no way the people at the time couldn't figure out when this happened. I mean, Augustus is Caesar. Okay, Quirinius was governor. Everyone had to register for taxes, okay, right? So he's saying there's facts here. There's facts. To me, that's a sign that this story is true, okay? Because he's giving the facts. He's saying, check this out. Check it out. I appreciate it about my faith. My faith in Jesus Christ, again, is not based on just some tall tale. There's facts to back it up. There's signs that God has given us. Then I appreciate this. How about the prophecies then? I mean, again, one of the most well-known prophecies about Jesus' birth is written by Micah. And this was some 400 years before Jesus was born. This was written. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrata, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Okay, it was spoken prophetically that where would the Savior be born? Bethlehem. That was spoken. And if you recall in the story, if you read forward in the story in Luke, it says that when the wise men came, and by the way, the wise men took them a long time to find Jesus. The shepherds and the lower class people found him right away, right? Okay, Jesus revealed himself, but never mind. Okay, let's go on. Okay, let's go forward here. Okay, but when the wise men came to him, they came to Herod and said, hey, where's the king? Because they thought Herod would be excited. Okay, now there's a whole story there. Herod wasn't excited. He wanted to kill the child, correct? And Herod asked the guys who knew the scrolls, knew the Old Testament as we know it. He said, where's this Savior supposed to be born? They went to this scripture in Micah chapter 5. They went to that scripture in Micah and said, well, the scripture says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And that's why he sent soldiers to kill every male child under the age of 2 in Bethlehem. Because of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Okay, that's why that happened, right? Again, so see, there's facts. So I appreciate, to me, those are signs that tell me that he is who he says he is. Isaiah 7:14, I brought up earlier. This is what was told to Joseph. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with a child and bear a son. Call him Emmanuel. This is the scripture that was cited to Joseph to tell him this story is real. Your wife's not lying to you. This is happening, and you're the man. You're the one for the moment. Signs matter. Signs matter. They mean something to us. I appreciate that. It solidifies what I believe. And to me, it builds my faith. Think about this, about the power of signs. Most of us know about Thomas, or as he's known, Doubting Thomas. Really an unfair thing to say about him. Okay, but he's the one who doubted that Jesus rose from the dead. But let's just look at the scripture here in John chapter 20. Okay, and this is after Jesus rose from the dead. It says, so the disciples were saying to him, to Thomas, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, put my finger into the place of the nails, put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Was that really a crazy thing that he said? No. I'm not going to believe it till I see it. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Give me a sign. Give me a sign. Right? I could very well be in the same place. I could see myself being like, how many of you could see yourself being like Thomas? Okay, you're all just messing with me. Okay? Okay, I don't believe. But here we go. So what happens then? Verse 27. 8 days later. Okay, it was 8 days later, it said in verse 26. We'll pick it up in 27. Jesus appears, okay, when the doors were shut, by the way. The doors were shut, Jesus just appears, okay? So Thomas is having a real come to Jesus moment, okay? Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger, see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. See, this seeing was believing for him. Okay? Signs matter. Signs matter. I appreciate the signs that we have that Jesus Christ is real. Okay? It builds you. It builds you. So often I believe we miss out on letting our faith be built by just looking at the facts of the story. Because everything in Christianity depends on Jesus Christ. Who was he? Was he who he said he was? And did he really rise from the dead? And again, so he calls him here Lord, Kurios, the Lord, the Master, the person who exercises complete ownership of me. See, when you say he's Lord, that's what you're saying. You're saying you have complete ownership of me. I am your slave, right? So that's what we're saying when we confess him as leader of our lives. And of course, God, the creator, the owner of all. And now, of course, we see verse 29. Jesus said to him, because you've seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who do not see and yet believed. See, what we do at this point, listen, is I haven't seen him. God's never appeared to me. I've never heard an audible voice. Never has happened. People ask me, how do I know God's voice? It's to me, God's voice sounds like the one that reminds me to buy bread on the way home. Okay, it's the same voice. I just discern. It's God speaking. I sense there's something more to it in context. But you know what I do believe? I believe eyewitness testimony. In a court of law, there's nothing more powerful than eyewitnesses. I believe eyewitness testimony. And I see the eyewitness testimony that we have in the scripture, and also backed up by some aspects, some other resources outside of scripture itself. Okay, so again, I believe because I look at these stories and it confirms my faith. I look at the prophecies, it confirms my faith. I look at the claims of Jesus, it confirms my faith. Why? Because of the signs. Okay, well, so what do we do with this? How do I get myself in this place? Well, listen, let's be like the shepherds. Let's look at verse 15 of chapter 2. Okay. When the angels had gone away and from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Look, if you want to walk and you want to have your faith grow, you have to keep going to see him. Let's go see. We have to continue to pursue him to find the signs of God. You know, a wise man recognizes that acknowledging Jesus is God isn't the end. It's just the beginning. You know, when I come to the place where I'm saying, okay, Jesus, you're it. You're the one I'm going to follow. You're the Lord. You're the owner of me. I'm not stopping there. That is just the beginning. That's the starting line. It's not the finish line. Okay? It's the foundation of life, not the monument of my life. It's a foundation. Okay, listen, the knowledge of Jesus, it's a launching pad, not a lily pad. Okay? Again, that's what God wants us to grab. So again, we have this knowledge of God. Again, but it's like those tangled up Christmas lights. Yeah, they're lit, but they're of no use to anybody, and actually they frustrate you. And a lot of people in their knowledge of God, they acknowledge he exists, they acknowledge he's a light, but he's more of an albatross to them instead of a blessing. Why? Because they haven't investigated. Go and investigate. Go and see yourself. You know, just as you need rest every 24 hours, your spirit needs to rest every 24 hours in the presence of God. You know, just as you get hungry daily and need to eat, spiritually, you need to eat daily. There has to be a commitment inside of us saying, I am going to be before him and not let this get old. I'm going to remember the amazing God that I serve and allow that to continue to feed my soul. Here's the thing. I got to go back to Bethlehem every day. Just like those shepherds said, let's go find out if it's real. I got to go back to Bethlehem every day. I want to see him. I want to see Jesus. I want to know him. And again, this is the sign. My faith is built on facts, saints. It's built on facts. He was born in Bethlehem. It was prophesied that he would come back out of Egypt. You know, and again, the family had fled to Egypt and came back. He was called Emmanuel. He was a child that was born. Okay, he didn't just appear on the scene as one who was grown and powerful. He had power over demons. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He predicted his own death. He predicted his resurrection time. He was seen alive by Mary. He was seen alive by the 11. And then he was seen alive by over 500 people at one time. And of course, over the course of 40 days, he continued to appear. The signs tell me my faith is grounded in a fact. My faith is built by facts. I appreciate that reality. Amen? And that is where we want to live. Signs reveal facts. I feed on facts. My faith grows. And I want your faith to grow. You know, and again, and so even this week, this is the week, I said, where we celebrate his coming, this great, amazing gift. This is what I'm asking you to do. This will help you. But you got to do it. You have to go to Bethlehem. Nobody can go for you, right? I said, I want you to read the Christmas story. Find it. Again, Luke 1 and 2 have the best story, most details. Luke 1 and 2. You read those two chapters. Okay, and then talk about what signs verify your faith. Talk about it. As you're talking to friends and family, talking to have a conversation with meaning. What is it out of this story that verifies your faith? What is it? Because what happens is we see, because it makes us look at the scripture a different way. It makes us look deeper. Okay, well, how does this build my faith? What is it in the story that builds my faith? Okay, and then begin or start once again, restart your devotion time. If you are going to walk in power and you're going to walk in the promises of God, there is no shortcut. You've got to go to Bethlehem every day, every single day, and renew those devotions to him. Okay? Got to renew those devotions. That's where this begins. And that's what I want to encourage you with this week. What better week to do it? Okay? Before the gifts are open tomorrow. Okay? Get your coffee, all right, and sit down and open up and read that story. Contemplate the goodness of God and thank him for the signs that you have that prove your faith. Amen? We got to hold on to that. Let's just pray right now. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you for what we have in Jesus. We thank you for the signs I thank you that you told us beforehand about your birth. I thank you that you spoke to Mary the way you did, and we see that story. I thank you that you show how you spoke to Joseph. I thank you that you spoke to Isaiah 700 years before and Micah 400 years before. I thank you that Jesus told his disciples, I'm telling you these things are going to happen to me. They're going to kill me. I'm going to rise again, because when it happens, you'll remember. Thank you that we have those signs. Thank you. And God, I pray, Lord Jesus, again, Lord, that we're going to be a people who don't take this for granted. But God, we're going to continue to investigate. We're going to go and see this sign every day. What are the signs? I'm going back to Bethlehem. I've got to be reaffirmed again in what I believe, appreciating who he is. And again, if you're here today, I said, and you've never come to that place where you said, Jesus, you are the Lord, as we said. You are the leader of my life. By Lord, you're saying, I've never just said, you're the owner, take over. I've never declared that. I believed in you, but I've never said, I'm going to follow you. If you've never made that commitment, we want to give you that opportunity. We don't want you to leave without making that opportunity, taking that opportunity. And if you're here today and you're saying, I got to make that decision. I've got to do it. I've got to make it happen. I just want to challenge you right now to be bold and raise your hand. Okay, Jesus was bold enough to lay down his life for you. You can be bold and say, yes, I want this. If there's anyone here that needs to do that, I want you to raise your hand at this time. Again, Father, again, because God, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Because God, again, Lord, you're serious about this. You were bold to save us. You were bold what you did. I'm bold in saying, I need you. I need you. Amen. And we'll come and see you after service, those who raised their hands. Thank you, Father. God, because we want to honor you. We want to draw close to you. God, my prayer is that we would all walk in all the promises of God. The truth of the Christmas story said it's not a lily pad to rest on. It's a launching pad to take off from. Let's do it today. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Give the Lord a hand. I'm going to turn this back over.